Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to the Athletic Baseball Show for Monday, May 22nd. This is On Deck. I'm Stephen Nesbitt, and I'm here with Levi Weaver. Levi, how was your weekend?
I always forget you're going to ask me about my weekend. I'm like ready and prepared to talk about baseball, and you blow me up with the weekend stuff. I don't know. We took the kids to hang out at fencing. I tried to buy hockey gear because my son needs a neck protector, and you can't find hockey gear in Texas. I walked into an Academy Sports, and the guy was like, I asked him about hockey gear, and his response was to laugh at me and say, "This is Texas, bro." So
don't come here for that stuff.
That's how my weekend was. On today's show, we are going to provide a Cardinals mea culpa. We're going to preview the top series of the week, obviously. We are going to make our Homer Chase picks. And Stephen has a 7-minute book review on a chart-topping romance novel. Sounds delightful, Stephen.
Before I jump in on that, I want to tell you about New York Times Audio, Levi. New iOS app for New York Times All Access and new subscribers. It's got our show, plus all the other podcasts from The Athletic, exclusive shows, narrated articles, and more. New York Times Audio. Download it now at nytimes.com/audio app. So, Levi, we're here to issue a little bit of a mea culpa, but also a little bit of a meh a culpa to the NL Central, who they're as bad as the Cardinals are okay, I think, right now. We came out here, our debut episode, we came out firing and said, you know, the Cardinals have a problem. You know, we can sort of split the season into two parts. There's a time when Wilson Contreras was the catcher, and then May 7th is kind of the line of demarcation. And then we have the time when Wilson Contreras was the catcher. And those are the sort of the two splits. He hasn't changed his job whatsoever at this point, but before that, they were 11-24 team. Since then, they're a 10-3 team. I don't know what kind of mind games they're playing, but that was so brilliant what they're doing in that front office and with Ollie Marmol. It sounded crazy from the outside. Whatever they did figured out a bunch of different guys' problems, pitching staff, lineup. More teams need to be trying this.
Yeah, just created a gigantic S-storm, and that'll just fix everything. As I've always said, more chaos is really the solution for every baseball team. Just throw everyone into a state of uncertainty where they don't really know exactly what their job is. I mean, that's leadership 101, and it seems to have worked out great in St. Louis. Yeah, I mean, I think I remember saying on our last show, is it a win for St. Louis if they take 1 out of 4 at home against the Dodgers? Which in retrospect, okay, I think I probably set the bar a little low. They did better than that. They won 16-8 on Thursday. They did go ahead and lose on Friday, but they won Saturday 6-5, and they came back on Sunday and won 10-5. They took 3 out of 4 from the Dodgers, who were not the Dodgers of the first month of the season. They were like, the Dodgers were rolling. They came in, I looked earlier today, and they were 7-3 in their last 10, and 2 of those 3 were losses from this weekend to the Cardinals. So, yeah, I mean, in my defense, when I said that, the Cardinals had the worst record in the National League. So it's completely a safe bet to bet against the worst team in the league. That's not the case anymore. They're better than the Rockies. They're better than the Reds. They're better than the Nationals. And they are in a virtual tie with the Cubs. They're only a half game behind the Padres, which maybe could be another episode for us at some point. But they have figured something out, whether it's the, you know, power of chaos or maybe, I don't know. They're still not close to being a winning team, but man, they have been a winning team of late.
I think what's happened in this second era, you know, since Wilson Contreras became the team's catcher, the guy they signed to be a catcher, he somehow has figured out how to get everyone on the team playing like they're supposed to be playing. So as we looked at this team when they're sitting at 11-24 and like third worst record in the majors, you were seeing like Nolan Arenado as bad as he's ever been, really, coming off of a Presk MVP season. And instead, now a couple weeks later, we're still before June 1st, the magical cutoff where things start to mean things. And so, you know, is there a world where we shouldn't have been paying attention to that and we should have just like taking everything with a grain of salt. Sure. But you have to take 11 and 24 seriously. And so when they had the start they did, not great. When they have the next step that they have, when Nolan and Nolan are being great, Nolan Gorman's been fantastic. He's taken that step forward they needed him to take this year. Nolan Arenado has been wonderful these last 2 weeks. And you're getting good from the guys you expected to get good from. Paul Goldschmidt, Tommy Edman, Paul DeJong. He's been good too. A couple nice starts lately from Steven Matz, Miles Michaelis, who had a horrible start. Matthew Liberatore is starting to look like someone who people had written off, I think, as a top prospect. He's kind of lost his shine and had great numbers in the minors. And will that translate to the majors? So far, he's done pretty well. Had a great start just recently from Jack Flaherty, who, no coincidence, I guess, throwing to Wilson Contreras. So I guess that wasn't the biggest problem. The problem was never Wilson Contreras. He's a good hitter. He's below average defensive catcher. And they signed him for a bunch of money. And the problem wasn't that he was catching for them, much as they may have said it at the time. The problem was that they had a whole host of guys underperforming. And so here they are. And they currently sit at the end of the weekend just 5 games back, I think, of the lead in the NL Central. The Brewers are up 1 game on the Pirates, 5 on the Cardinals and Cubs, 6 on the Reds, and the best team in that division has a -2 run differential. Like, this is not a good division. We say that almost every year about the Centrals, but to just underscore that, the Blue Jays are in last place in the AL East, 25-22, and they currently be tied or in first place in both of the Centrals. Like, this is very much a division that's up for grabs for the Cardinals. And I don't think they're nearly far enough behind that we can write them off.
I've been preaching about centrism for years. Nobody listens to me.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Let's move on to our top series for the week. We decided on the Dodgers and the Braves. You know, the Dodgers coming off, obviously, a rough weekend in St. Louis. There's always the question of, is this the beginning of a cold streak or are they going to get really upset? Not like they've got a soft landing. The Braves are still very, very good. Charlie Clutch, Charlie Culberson, back in a Braves uniform. That's, again, more just secrets to winning baseball. Just put Charlie Culberson on your team. Dude can throw like 93 out of the bullpen. You know, like, sorry, I know we have real baseball things to talk about, but that is the one person for whom I am really upset about these new position player pitching rules. Like, I get it. It was getting out of hand. You couldn't just like, oh, it's a 4-run game and our bullpen's tired. Let's put in a middle reliever or a middle infielder. Culberson could throw gas. Like, he could actually pitch. And I want them to turn him into a 2-way player. I was angling for this when he was with the Rangers the last 2 years. Like, he did, I just didn't give up runs. Like, he would come in. And I'm sure that some of it was just like low expectations or hitters hadn't seen him or whatever. But he was legitimately good as a relief pitcher. Change the rules for Charlie Culberson. Let him be a 2-way player. Let's make it happen. But for the actual discussion about the series, these are two teams that probably will meet again in October if I'm just making a wild prediction in late May.
If you look at what's happening the rest of the NL East here, I don't think the Braves have a ton of space to sort of take the foot off the pedal here. I'm not ready to say we need to take the Marlins like really seriously, but they're tied with the Mets right now in second place at 5.5 back. The Marlins have been a perfectly mediocre team, but they have a little bit of juice right now with getting Yuri Perez up, their rotation coming into form after an uncharacteristically slow start from Sandy Alcantara to the season. The Phillies are still sitting there 7 games back. The Braves, they've had injuries, they've had some problems, but they're certainly not in a good position to take a couple of games off here, and they're against a great opponent. Meanwhile, Miami's got Colorado. The Mets are just finishing up a Cleveland series, a doubleheader there, and the Phillies go play Arizona. So this is an opportunity, I think, for the other teams to make up some ground. And the man who I think has kept the Braves out front is Ronald Acuna. I just want to rave about him for a minute. He's batting, if you haven't noticed, .344, .431, .600 slugging for a 1.031 OPS. He's got 11 homers and 18 steals. So after he tears his ACL, he's coming back, not like a premium glove defender, but a premium arm in the outfield. He's certainly not someone you're going to stick at DH. He's better than that. He's kind of running away with it, the steals lead in the National League, and he got 11 homers along with it. This dude is incredible this season, and his first full year back from the ACL tear. And you put him at the top of that lineup along with Matt Olson, Austin Riley, Ozzie Albies in that lineup, Sean Murphy, what he's done so far. The Braves are in a wonderful spot right now if they can stay healthy. And they're rolling out a rotation this week that's going to be Charlie Morton, another Charlie on that team, Spencer Strider, and Bryce Elder. They're well positioned. Take a couple of games, I think, from the Dodgers. And not only do you put the Dodgers on their heels after a tough weekend, you gain a little bit of ground again in that division.
On the topic of stolen bases, I have a very specific and very quick trivia question for you. The Los Angeles Dodgers, who in the month of May would you guess is their stolen base leader?
I would guess Mookie, but I don't think it's that. So I'm going to go Freddie Freeman. He's a low-key base stealer.
You are exactly right. It's Freddie Freeman, really? And Will Smith. They each have two stolen bases in the month of May, and they are tied for the team lead. I would have 100%. I would have put money on Mookie Betts or anybody but their catcher.
And the first baseman.
No, Will Smith is right there tied with Freddie Freeman.
All right, what's your series of the week?
My series of the week, I am taking the On Deck series, your Pittsburgh Pirates and my Texas Rangers. I think, you know, on May 1st, these were probably two of the biggest surprises in the league. Texas was 17-11. Pittsburgh was 20-9. Pittsburgh may be a bigger surprise. You know, Texas spent a lot of money in the offseason. Since then, the Rangers are 12-6. The Pirates are 4-13, have had losing streaks of 7-4. The Rangers looked like this year they were going to be a pitching first team for the first time ever. But no, the starting pitching has been fine. The bullpen is in shambles, but they currently lead all of baseball in runs scored. They are at, if I've added this up correctly, after Sunday's games, they've scored 297 runs. The Rays have scored 290. So the Texas Rangers scoring more runs than anyone in all of baseball. The rotation has been, as I said, fine. Jacob deGrom should be back in a couple weeks. Oh, by the way, on that offense, that's after losing Corey Seager for like a month. He's back now, and he only hits extra base hits now. That's what he worked on when he was injured. The Pirates, on the other hand, before May, they were scoring 5.4 runs a game. That's down to 2.75, plus whatever they score. They scored 3 on Sunday, so it's not going to change much. Meanwhile, their pitching is giving up an extra, almost a full run a game. That's kind of just how you lose the lead in a division.
The Tampa Bay Rays have not yet lost their lead. However, they are getting a lot of heat right now from the Orioles and the Yankees, and they play this week, my series of the week, play against the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays, meanwhile, have fallen quite a bit, faded in the back half of these first couple of months here, in the first 2 months where nothing means anything, but everything means everything, and have lost 4 in a row now. And now they set up in a series where I won't, you know, belabor the point that we made last week, but the rotation for the Blue Jays is not something you feel great about at this moment. Alek Manoah has not been the Alek Manoah we expected. They're not going to have Gausman going against Tampa. It's going to be Bassett, Berrios, and Kikuchi. On the other side, it's going to be Trevor Kelly, Taj Bradley, and Shane McClanahan. I definitely lean, especially in the second and third games, be leaning in the Tampa direction. But the Rays are in a position where at 34-14, somehow you don't feel that great about very comfortable about your lead. You're at a 2.5 game lead, which is probably one of the smallest around baseball. And so as far as division leaders, so a tight one there. I think the Rays have the edge, but they're going to need their offense to keep going, because these are some Blue Jays pitchers, I think, who can be exposed and have some weaknesses they've shown already this season. And Tampa is the team where, whether that's Harold Ramirez or Yandy Diaz or Wander Franco, they found a way to just peck away at pitchers. And I think they're going to find a way to get that done. And Toronto needs it to click pretty soon.
While I was looking up stats for the Rangers, I came across an interesting one for the Rays. They, as far as, again, month of May goes, their bullpen is tied with the Oakland Athletics for most runs allowed by relief pitchers. That was shocking to me because they still have the fewest runs allowed in all of baseball total. But it's because they're starting pitchers, and I know some of these guys are hurt now, but for the season, their starting pitchers have allowed 70 runs. The second worst Atlanta and Minnesota 95 runs. So that's actually, that might be for the month of May. I need to go back and double check that. But the point is, their starting pitching has been great. They, like the Rangers, could use some bullpen help.
Levi, it's time for us to check back in on our arms race and homer chase. There really is no update as far as the homer chase, because after you took a 4-3 lead in a real barnstormer of a week one, I took Patrick Wisdom, you took Jake Fraley, and they just put up overs as far as home runs went. So we're still sitting 4-3. However, we did have some serious drama in the arms race competition over the weekend. I had Lucas Giolito against the Royals. And boy, let me tell you how that one worked out. Great. It worked out great for me. He went 6 innings, allowed 1 run. Let me get the rest of the line. He's on a homer, 1 walk and 4 steals. I mean, or 4 strikeouts. That's a pretty clean line. Meanwhile, you had Mitch Keller against the Diamondbacks. 6 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, 1 homer, 0 walks, 8 strikeouts.
You told me not to look this up, and I haven't looked this up, but I feel like because of the hits and because of the walks, in my soul, I feel like I won.
In what world would you gave up 2 runs and I gave up 1 in 6 innings? How do you feel better about
yourself?
But my
guy had more strikeouts and fewer hits, because I don't know how Game Score 2 works, and I think it loves strikeouts and hates walks. That's why.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, it actually wasn't even that close. It ends up being Mitch Keller takes this with a 67 game score 2.0, and Lucas Giolito gets a 57. I was watching this game on Saturday afternoon. My son got up from his nap, and we popped it on. It was like a visible fist pump when he got out of a bases loaded jam. But I had to think, like, what does this do for the game score 2.0? I don't know how they look upon a bases loaded jam. So you take this one again. You're up 2-0. And I couldn't believe it. I'm going to have to think a little harder about who I pick, because I need punch outs.
Our audio listeners on nytimes.com/audio app can't see how big I'm smiling right now. But if you're watching on YouTube, you can. Because you know way more about this than I do. You picked the premise and you picked the scoring, and I'm up 2-0. This is great. I've just been taking like the haymakers every week.
All right. Give me your pick for the homer chase.
I'll make it short. Instead of giving a bunch of explanation, I just picked a guy that I thought would hit a home run. And I'm going with Rafael Devers.
I like it. I need haymakers right now. And so I'm going for the heavy hitter. I'm going for Pete Alonso. I need to burn it at some point, and it needs to happen now. They're going to go to Wrigley, which isn't, you know, hopefully the wind is blowing out. Good weather there in Chicago. I should look that one up. But then they go to Coors, and if he doesn't hit one out of Coors, I mean, that's like home run derby for him.
The Mets are 3-0 since he said, let's effing go Mets on the post-game TV show. It's like the David Ortiz blessing all over again.
We're here to hit bombs. So that'll do it for us. You can find our work all week long at theathletic.com. You can subscribe for $2 per month for 12 months at theathletic.com/baseballshow. Sign up for The Windup, The Athletic's daily baseball newsletter with Levi and Ken Rosenthal for absolutely free. And speaking of Ken, coming up later on the feed, we have Ken Rosenthal joining Starkville to talk a little bit about everything that Ken Rosenthal, Jason Stark, and Doug Glanville will get up to. You know it's going to be an entertaining time. Give us both a follow on Twitter. Levi is at 32EFIS, and I'm at Stephen J. Nesbitt. We'll be back on Thursday with more of What's on Deck.
Sorry that we ran out of time for the book review. I guess we'll just put that on the Patreon.